Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Franco family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
Really, when the Lord started to bring me out of that time of just darkness, spiritual darkness.
Camille Cates on Focus on the Family Minute.
I remember going on a date with a former boyfriend, and he was taking me home, and I knew that he wanted to be sexually active, and there was just something that the Lord did in my heart, and my heart just kind of snapped, and I said, I know where this leads, and I don't want this anymore. So I left that relationship, and I remember going into my house and throwing myself on the bed and just saying, crying out to God, like, I have chased every single relationship in my life but the one I have with you, and I am done, and I'm ready to pursue this life with you. And my life changed radically. Yeah.
Hear more at familyminute.org.
Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Franco family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
Paul Harvey's The Rest of the Story, brought to you by Frontier Floors and Window Coverings at 830 21st Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-7878 or online at frontierfloors.net.
The Rest of the Story. War song. Those two words themselves are in conflict with each other, and yet for the sake of world culture, this is a music of penultimate importance. Remember, our own national anthem is a war song of sorts. Anthropologists theorize that this was among the first music to be sung, that primitive people probably conjured their cult rituals around the war song, used it to accompany fiery dancing. In ancient Greece, songs were sung by Spartan warriors at their campfires. Other songs were sung to harden the spirits of those about to enter battle. The words to many anthems of war are based on sound psychological principles. What could be more encouraging than the brave deeds of forefathers or a victory projected, predicted in music? By the end of the 15th century, army units began to have trumpeters and drummers and pipers. Their music supported the discipline of marching, the urge to battle. So it was in the American Revolution. You know the songs we sang. But now you're going to hear about an enemy anthem, a rhyme for the Redcoats. Some say the British tune in 2-4 can be traced to a song of French vineyard workers, and others argue it came from a Spanish sword dance or a German harvest tune or a Dutch peasant song. We're just not sure, but we do know this. British soldiers sang it during the French and Indian War, a full 2 decades before the signing of the Declaration of Independence, and they would use it to shudder the courage of the colonists throughout the Revolution, sometimes posting troops to sing it outside a church during colonial religious services. It was meant to taunt us. It was meant to make us afraid. But then a curious thing happened to this demoralizing melody. We stole it. We just lifted it from the Redcoats, words and all. We lifted it from the voices of our enemies. One patriot suggested that we should change the words befitting the colonial cause. And though he, a man named Francis Hopkinson, successfully came up with a new set of lyrics, our forefathers favored the original lyrics. Oh, Hopkinson's Battle of the Kegs was sung, all right, sometimes, but we, most of us, perpetuating a long tradition of musical psychological warfare, knew what hurt the most, so the enemy heard their own song, their own words, thrown right back in their own ears, and you know what? It worked. It became a favorite in every camp. It was heard in battle, in defeat, and in victory. It was even played at the final surrender of General Cornwallis. Yes, the enemy anthem worked for the Americans during the Revolutionary War. And such was its subsequent popularity that it brilliantly survived the war itself. Benjamin Carr used it as an orchestral medley, the Federal Overture, written in 1794. A century later, visiting European composers would write variations on the tune, honoring the Americans and their efforts during the Revolution. And just think, this song was intended to be used only by the Redcoats to needle American troops during our Revolution. Until with incomparable American mischief, we turned the needle around, and it was they, the British, who got the point. For the Redcoat rhyme that we made our own forevermore was Yankee Doodle. And now you know the rest of the story.
This hour of Sound Off on KPRL brought to you by Buy the Book Heating and Air, your local reliable heating and air expert. Call 805-423-5119.
238-5775. 238-KPRL. Sound Off continues on KPRL, the North County's number one choice for news, talk, and sports. This is Sound Off on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Welcome to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veely, your host on Wednesdays and Thursdays. I'm also an investigative reporter with Cal Coast News. I have the co-founder of Cal Coast News, Dan Blackburn, on the show today. We're talking about a number of stories that Cal Coast News has done, and also a little bit about journalism and why things happen the way they do. And Dan, do you remember what a headache at first the comment section was?
Well, oh yeah. I mean, there were decisions to be made about, you know, what would be the guidelines. In fact, I don't think at the time we even had any clue as to actually set it up mechanically or physically. But establishing the guidelines, which I think you ended up doing very nicely, you know, and that kind of set the stage. I think back to the very origins of our efforts on Cal Coast News. We published, I think, on day one, and on day two, we started getting calls about why we weren't linking certain articles to certain, you know, linking basically irrelevant items. I don't think either one of us had any idea what they were talking about and links to these stories. So we started out in a very, I say, almost naive situation in every aspect except our reporting. And that got us into trouble almost immediately, as I recall. I hope I'm not getting too far off the trail here. But
now, this is what I want to explain. Yes.
Yeah. One of the first real contacts that we had when we started the website back in 2008 was from a former county supervisor. And she was very concerned that we would be, well, let me put it this way. She was strongly suggesting that we limit our reporting to only the good news. And I remember being quite surprised by what I was hearing, because basically, you know, good news was kind of what happened around Thanksgiving and Christmas in my family. I had no idea what good news reporting was. I mean, every so often a story was good news. Anyway, it kind of showed me, again, on reflection, what the attitude was, and I don't know that that was widespread at the time among San Luis Obispo County's county government, but the idea that somebody of that stature would suggest that, you know, a news site limit its reporting to good news, I suppose should have been a red flag for me. At the time, it was just a curiosity. But again, as I say on reflection, we should have known just by that comment that things were pretty muddy in the county in terms of public corruption. And we were right. People used to ask me, and I'm sure they asked you too, Karen, where do you guys get your stories? And our answer generally is we pick up the phone and say hello. We're contacted by people who know certain things that are happening. You know, at the time, there were just two of us. We had, you know, three. but basically a very, very, what you might call a skeleton reporting crew. And the tips were coming in, as I recall, almost faster than we could deal with them. There was so much happening. So many people were aware of so many things that were happening in the county that were not on the up and up. I remember we were just scrambling to try to figure out which stories we needed to devote time to because, you know, a good story with the kind of researching that both of us insisted upon it takes time. You want to nail down everything that's being reported. And some of these stories were quite complex. Some of the stories that we handled came to us almost completed by people who had been dealing with issues for years, had lawyers involved, had investigators involved in some instances, and were able to say, well, here's a package. And I remember one very interesting day. We were approached with a package, and I'm relating to one of the developers in the county. And I asked this person why they didn't give it to the Tribune. And this person said, well, they didn't want to do it. So I should say we got our good stories by picking up the phone and talking to people who the Tribune perhaps had ignored.
And we're still getting those type of I was contacted by someone who works for a prominent developer in the county who told me that there was some bribery again with a public official going on and wanted me to look into it and told me what they knew. And the thing is, it's not something we can't, even if we know that you're a prominent person in a company, you know, you've been there for years. You really are who you say you are. We can't just write a story on, you're accusing somebody of a crime. It takes a long time for us to get enough evidence where we can actually write a story.
You and I were reporting on issues, and I say reporting. We weren't writing the stories. We were reporting on them that actually led to law enforcement investigations based on the information that we were gathering. You know, so it's a very... to me, it was very fascinating. We, as a news agency, we evolved very quickly, and we didn't really know it because the only thing we were measuring it by was, you know, who's listening to us or who's reading us, and how many folks are out there reading us. You know, remember Karen, you and I wrote for like a couple of months, not knowing if anybody was really even reading it. We were writing into this big vacuum, just to get established.
And we were so busy, we didn't even go into the... We didn't even know how to look at how many people were reading back then. We were just trying to... We were reporters who were also running the site. And running the site was second. We were reporters at our core.
Yeah, and I probably shouldn't say this on the air, but the look of the site is kind of what it was almost at the beginning. There hasn't been a whole lot of... visual transition. It's still a site that basically reports the facts and didn't try to get real gaudy. For a while, I was suggesting that we start adding a lot of video to the site, but then I retired and we haven't gotten into that too much. And it probably, you know, you need a staff. You need people to do that sort of stuff. And again, during most of it was Josh and you and me. That was the reporting end of things.
And it was a lot of work to do some of these articles. I mean, there were times we were sitting watching somebody for hours on end. I remember spending hours in a car watching people.
Those were some fun times. I remember one morning at about 5 a.m., you called me and you said, hey, I'm sitting in an RV, and you were sitting out on the street in the dark waiting for what had been promised as a district attorney's bust on a couple of developers there in the county, a mom and dad, kind of think who they were.
That would have been what were their names? They had a State Financial, Karen Guth and Josh Aguda.
Absolutely. So we waited in the dark then for this thing to materialize. And Josh spotted us, I guess, from the house. I remember he came running down the path, probably ran about a quarter of a mile to get down to the RV, and was pounding on it and yelling, and he eventually snatched my press pass off my neck, as I recall.
And I will tell you, I am sitting there with a camera in my lap. He is grabbing Dan around the neck, trying to pull him out the window. I am so, and he's screaming, I mean, screaming at the top of his lungs. You'll get off our property. We're not on their property. We're on the road. And this is a huge property. And I don't take a photo.
We were reporters. Our minds were working, but our cameras weren't. I can think of dozens of times in my career where I watched something happen with a camera or a phone on me. Watched something happen, and then afterwards thought, wow, that was really something. And then, wait a minute, why didn't I video it or photograph it? But again, I guess my initial training was just simply to observe, and it was hard. When I was a younger reporter, I would go out on a story with a photographer, and I would gather all the stuff I needed, and we would head back to the office. And Carl, I remember, he would go into the dark room and be done with his work in about 10 minutes, laying a bunch of proof sheets in front of the editor, and be walking out the door to go over where he was gone. And I was just assembling my notes. And I was thinking, I wonder if I'm on the right end of this reporting stuff. Maybe I ought to just be a photographer. But until I got an iPhone with a good camera in it, I couldn't really do much in the way of good photography. So.
You know what impressed me most about you that day? I am absolutely stunned. Again, he's screaming. He's grabbing at his neck. He's grabbing at his badge and yelling. And the madder and the more angry he got, he said, "You're going to go to jail. I'm going to have you arrested." You were very calm, and you said, "No, you are going to be arrested." In the most calm voice, I was just like, wow. In the face of craziness, you become calm.
Oh, I was probably terror-stricken and just couldn't get anything else out. As it turned out, though, he was arrested that morning.
And why we took photos.
Yeah. Well, we entered the reporting end of things in 2008-2009 era, you know, when developers were just going nutso in San Luis Obispo County, particularly in the Paso Robles Templeton area, developers doing this, that, and the other thing, and almost all of them—not all of them, but almost all of them—it seemed were gathering great amounts of investment money, dealing with the tail end loan operation. I mean, just and using the money to fly around on jets and buy World Series tickets. Incredible, like these folks never thought anybody would bother to look at what they're doing. And they actually had financial victims complaining about this. These were some of the first files that you and I started getting from people that the other media in the county didn't want to mess with. And we're looking at it and saying, holy crap, these people are, can I say that on the air? They're committing these crimes right out front. Now, in those days, that was shocking. Not so much shocking anymore, I guess. But
these had victims, primarily seniors in our community, who thought that they could defraud, and they'd get away with it. And even as they were being convicted, I saw victim after victim die, and it was heartbreaking.
Well, part of the problem back then was that promises were being made of 10 to 15, sometimes even 20% interest gain on these investments. And some people were actually taking their entire savings out, thinking, wow. I mean, think of it. If you got $250,000 in savings and you put it in somewhere and it's getting 10% interest, wow, that's $25,000 a year. Back in those days, you could live on that kind of money. So, I mean, it was a temptation for these people to do it. I remember I was in a saloon one time, we'll call it that. It was a Pine Street saloon. I was talking to a guy who said, this is an abbreviated conversation. He said, I'm fairly well-to-do. And he said, I was talking, making my investments. And he said, I had this credit card that had a $25,000 limit on it, and I just kept it in my wallet. I probably had it there 2-3 years. And he said, one day, he said, I'm talking to, he mentioned this name of this particular investor in town. I won't mention his name because he was never convicted. But I said, he said, I got this promise from the guy. He said, I can give you 20% return on this in 1 year. So my friend said, yeah, what the hell? I'm going to do that. So he went and he got $25,000 out of this last credit card that he had. He had good credit. Anyway, he had just kissed that goodbye. It was gone. And he said, I could kind of afford it, kind of irritated him. But there were people who were losing not that extra cash, but they were losing, the basis of their retirement money. But again, now, greed on the part of the investors had something to do with it. My philosophy is if somebody's promising you, something 2 or 3 or 4 points over the normal interest return on investment, you better be very cautious. 10%, wow, hey, I'm going to get 10% back on my money, better look twice. But again, I'm not a financial guy, so I don't really know what I'm talking about. But I'm just saying what was happening to some of these people. They were older, like I'm getting to be, and, they thought, wow, this is a good way to spend. But again, it was kind of, it was greedy on the one part, and sharks know, they can sense greed, and they go after it, So it's, I'm not saying these victims, it was their own fault, I'm not saying that at all. But that was what motivated them to do what, on reflection, were probably silly financial moves.
Yes, and I do remember one man. He had found out that he had cancer and his wife had MS. And he wanted to make sure that she was in the best facility possible because he knew he wouldn't be there to take care of her. And he sat down and Karen Guth and Kelly Gearhart, and they all just said, don't worry, you're going to get all your money back. You're going to be fine. And this one wasn't Karen Guth. This was Kelly Gearhart and Hearst Financial. And
but these people were all respected in the community. That's what,
Yeah.
They were well respected, all of them.
The man lost, his wife ended up in the worst type of facility you could get into, a pauper. Dan, we're going to take another break from our sponsors, and we'll be back with more with Dan Blackburn.
Okay.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Liz Klayman, and this is the Fox Business Report.
The major averages accelerating losses in the final hour of trading as shares of Meta Platforms and Microsoft declined following their earnings release. And investors also digested a more hawkish tone from the Federal Reserve. U.S.-China trade hopes cushioning today's losses following a meeting between President Trump and China's leader Xi. Shares of Meta Platforms tumbled over 11% after the social media giant forecast notably larger capital expenses next year due to investments in artificial intelligence. Microsoft stock declined 3% despite the software giant delivering an earnings and revenue beat. The Dow winners, Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan Chase, and Salesforce. The Dow decliners, Microsoft, United Health, and Boeing. The Dow falling 110 points. The Nasdaq lower by 377. S&P 500 down 68. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
Rising debt, stock market swings, and global shocks can affect your retirement. But even in this economy, there's still opportunity. Protect your retirement with a secure, tax-advantaged gold IRA. Instead of leaving a 401k or IRA at the mercy of markets, hold physical gold or silver. Real protection for your future. And Noble Gold makes it simple. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and chat with a specialist. The conversation is free, and the peace of mind is priceless. NobleGoldInvestments.com. Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals involves risk. Consult your financial advisor before making investment decisions.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
Do you worry about where to take your car for repairs? Who you can trust? Mike and his team at the Audubon are a safe bet. Located in Templeton, behind the donut shop, just off Main Street. They service Mercedes, BMWs, Volkswagens, Porsches, and Audis. And the Audubon is certified in those cars and in repairing Land Rovers, Volvos, and Mini Coopers. Call the Audubon, 434-2200.
Hi, this is Chris from We Help You Legal. Legal documents should be simple and affordable. At We Help You Legal, there are no lawyers and no high costs, just certified experts to assist you with living trusts, wills, divorce matters, corporations, and LLCs.
Hi, I'm Christina. We also offer notary services. You can find us online at wehelpyoulegal.com or call 805-237-7770.
We Help You Legal, your Central Coast legal document company.
The Sound Off lines are open at 238-5775, 238-KPRL. The North County's listening to you on Sound Off.
Welcome back to Sound Off. I have my former partner, Dan Blackburn, on the show. This is Karen Veeley, and we have a caller. Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to bring to the conversation?
Oh, well, I'm glad you're talking about interest rates and stabilizing the economy. I'm no fan of Trump, and when I found that Elon Musk was able to get into the Treasury and then succeeding lawsuits against his access to all of our data, I've made the decision that I do not want my tax dollars to go into the Treasury. So I'm going out of my way to make sure that I invest in local bond issues, school bond issues, library bond issues, maybe roads, sewer districts, things like that. And then if I still have some money left over, give to nonprofits that I know are doing good work. And so it's a way of keeping the money local and making sure that it doesn't get into the hands of scoundrels. And when you're talking about interest rates, I'm baby boom and old enough to remember when there were actually usury laws in various states. I'm originally from Missouri. The usury laws out there were at 7%. No one could charge higher than 7%, otherwise they'd be prosecuted violating usury laws. I understand that the state of Alabama, a couple of years ago, was trying to do a referendum to bring the usury rate down to 46%. Down to 46%. I mean, the idea of being able to survive 7% is extremely difficult. I took financial management, and they told us that 7% was murder. It was slaughter. That 3% was actually kind of difficult to maintain, and that when you start looking at the World War II vets were given 1.5% VA notes for buying a house, 1.5%, and that the ability to have a stable economy is very important, and having just erratic and exorbitant interest rates is not only damaging, but it's the downfall of civilizations. So, the idea of investing locally, making sure that our library roof is sound, making sure our sewers are working properly, the fresh water system is working right, the schools are working right, that's what I'd look at wise investment.
I assume you've got your things work out to the point where your write-offs are not causing you any great financial impact, but yet your money is going almost exclusively into local causes and local issues and local projects. Am I correct?
Yeah. Yeah, I only there are occasional jobs that I do that automatic deductions go into the Treasury, but I'll call for them back at the tax season.
Yeah, that's very interesting. I'm trying to achieve kind of the same thing with my limited capacity, but it's an interesting way of looking at your obligations, your social obligations in terms of taxes.
Yeah, I'm glad you're using that expression, social obligations. When I listen to hate radio and they're always talking about taxes are bad, taxes are evil, this and that and the other, I disagree totally. I like the idea of buying good quality roads. I like the idea of having dam inspectors and having water inspectors, making sure there's no pollution in the river, good air traffic control, unbiased parties that'll handle, various aspects of our lives, whether it's the courts, things like that. Sure. I don't mind paying for that, and I actually know that I'm getting good service in a general way. But the idea that we can just have people expounding day after day about taxes are evil and that we should be proud loners and that the proud loner is the one that makes it, and that if you band together in any kind of way that you must be some sort of a commie, that's just, it's not, it's so preposterous that it defies logic. America
Absolutely.
Was founded on united we stand, divided we fall. And these guys are out there expounding divided we divided we fall, united we stand. I'm saying it backwards. The one that makes it, and that if you band together, you're some sort of a commie. Yeah, it's they've turned everything on its head.
Well, I may have my source wrong, but I think it was Thomas Jefferson who said, "Taxes are the price we pay for civilization."
Thank you very much for calling in. We have another guest. Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to bring to the conversation?
I want to talk about property taxes. We can never stop paying property taxes until we die. Just like in Mexico, it's a 99-year lease on property. And the governor of Florida is trying to get rid of property taxes. And I think it'd be nice for people that worked all their lives and paid their taxes on their property every single year for 99 years or whatever, that they wouldn't have to pay them anymore after a certain age. And I want to see what you guys think about that, okay? Thanks.
Thank you for calling in.
I'd say property owners basically are what you might consider to be a vulnerable community. Of late, there probably are a lot more property associations than there used to be, groupings. But generally speaking, property owners individually don't have a lot of group power. And that's one of the reasons property taxes are kind of an easy take from the public as far as the tax-gathering folks are concerned. There are a number of other taxes that are easy to collect, and believe me, that's a factor that's always considered when taxing groups, government agencies who are considering implementation of taxes, will consider one of how easy is this going to be to get past the public. And when there are limited avenues of opposition, in other words, easy targets, easy victims, those are the ones that get taxed. As I say, property owners, they get their tax bill, they complain. Obviously, I do too. It seems like you're paying somebody for something that's yours. But there are services involved, and we need to understand that these property taxes aren't necessarily wasted. Hopefully, they're spent on things like streets and street lights and, maybe even law enforcement and things like that. So, you go with the flow, and there's always an alternative way to live life if things don't work out for you in your community.
And it's that is one of the big importances of the press, is that we really do, it brings out when there are issues and when there's important things going on in the government, it brings it to the population so that they can discuss it.
Yeah, you know, and they say all news is local, and of course for a long time that was just kind of a trite saying, but I think people are beginning to understand it. I'm even understanding it more because I see a lot of things happening locally, not just in cities, but in counties and states, you know, that reflect in terms of national saturation, same thing happening on a larger basis nationally. So I think more and more people are probably paying attention more to local politics because I think, as we had just heard from the last caller, who was, I think, being very careful in his discussion of his thinking in relation to economic matters, he was talking about obvious truths, particularly in economics, and there are, and those can't be twisted into political watchwords or, you know, mottos or it's a discussion. You know, I wanted to mention that a little off the subject. I listened to Ronald Reagan's comment at the beginning of this show, and I'm not sure I heard the entire piece of it, but what I did here was I endorsed it. I thought, wow, this ought to be broadcast today into everyone's ears in this country. He had some very cogent thoughts about the price of freedom, what we need to do in our lives to perpetuate this concept we have of a unique self-governing country. Quite an endorsement. I'm going to go back and try to find it on a recording and just record it for myself when I feel things are getting out of hand. But anyway, just an aside.
And I also enjoy the Ronald Reagan, the different Paul Harvey speeches that come out every day.
Oh, Paul Harvey's wonderful. The rest of the story. That's what you and I were always trying to do, was tell the rest of the story.
And very often we would know the backstory and what was actually going on. And it, for those that don't know, Paul Flores, and Dan was involved in the Paul Flores case years before I was, but Paul Flores appealed his conviction, and he made his attorney was very aggressive on two counts, that the judge should have released one of the jurors, and that they should not have let the other victims of sexual assault by Paul talk because of rules of not bringing in crimes that were not prosecuted. And the judges just tore their argument for the appeal apart, saying there are many, many reasons that when you have someone who's a known sexual assailant, you can bring these things in. They denied every single one of his claims, and not only denied, basically belittled those claims. Were you surprised that there was nothing that they found to be appealable in the case?
Oh, yeah, that was very strange. You know, normally a judge will let that go until it's actually disproven. But I thought it was a rash decision. But again, I'm probably not privy to all the facts of the case. But, you know, justice isn't always just.
Well, on this one, the appellate court said he's not going to win this appeal. There was no good facts. He's not getting out of jail, and he is a danger to society.
Yeah, well.
And, you know, the big thing here now is the only chance he has of getting out is if something new comes out, which I don't think it's going to happen, or if he gets out on parole at some point. And I think in 35 he's going to have a chance to parole. But he'll have to admit he didn't say what happened with the body. And otherwise, he's not getting out of jail.
Well, and he shouldn't until that matter is taken care of. Hey, can we change the subject for a minute? I'm very curious about the young woman who got 3 years for stealing 4 chickens.
Yes. And for those that don't know, Cal Coast News put up a story yesterday. San Luis Obispo County activist facing 5 years in prison. This is a young woman who joined an activist group at 12, lived in our county. Her dad was a vet, and she doesn't believe that meat should be eaten. Animals should never be eaten. They shouldn't even be kept in cages for eggs. She has, you know, unless they're big, giant, free-to-roam type facilities. And she has been aggressively, she changed herself to a panic Cal Poly. She's done a number of stuff to stop slaughterhouses. We're going to take a break from our advertisers, and then we'll be back more talking about this young woman who was just sentenced to 3 years in prison.
Peak Painting, we get it. Hiring contractors can be frustrating. Missed calls, no callbacks, endless waiting for even a price. We do things different. You can book your quote right on the spot. And to top that off, you will have a detailed quote and price before we leave. Painting is easier with Peak.
Hi, I'm Seth Peak.
And I'm Ryan Peak.
And we're the Peak Brothers. From cabinet painting to interior painting.
Exterior painting, both residential and commercial.
We're your go-to family-owned and operated painting company serving all of Slo County. We look forward to working with you. To learn more and book your appointment, visit Peak Painting at peekpainting.com.
Do you use propane for your home or business? Family-owned and operated, Delta Liquid Energy has provided local area residents with dependable and courteous propane service since 1936. From home heating and cooking to powering your irrigation engine pump or forklift, propane can do it all. Don't forget their location. Paso Robles refills propane bottles of all sizes Monday through Friday and has a dump station for your RV. Learn more. Call Delta Liquid Energy 805-239-0616 or go online DeltaLiquidEnergy.com.
Listen to this real Paso Robles Glass customer where they installed 23 replacement Milgard Tuscany windows and two sliding doors.
Steve Eklund, Craig Smith as an architect and a proud and honored client of Paso Robles Glass. Hey, the boys are doing a great job. They just left. Everything is just fine. Extremely good crew. You got that crew is exceptional. They're all hardworking guys, very careful, very cautious. All is good. I think they have one more day tomorrow, wrap it up, the finished work. I'd like to set up a time to come up and see you next week. I've got a big, big project I'd like you to look at for me. Whatever works on your end, just wanted to let you know, Steve. Take care. Bye.
Get rid of your old broken windows and get new Milgard energy-efficient windows and doors with Milgard's ironclad lifetime warranty.
I recently had the best visit with Peter Lussier at Hearing Aid Specialists. He fixed my hearing aid, gave me an efficient hearing test, and adjusted my hearing aids using computer software. I've had my hearing aids for several years. I never felt they were working properly until Peter fixed the issues. The clarity and volume are wonderful now.
If you have hearing aids or need a hearing aid evaluation, call Hearing Aid Specialists of the Central Coast, 805-460-7385, 805-460-7385.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Vealey, your host on Wednesdays and Thursdays. I have co-founder of Cal Coast News, Dan Blackburn, with me today. And Dan, I'm sure you probably remember this young woman. We were writing about her back. I think in 22, we were writing about her. She repeatedly did different things. At 15, no, that was before 22. That was probably about 18. She
would call you, right?
She would call and she still does.
Yeah, okay.
She changed herself to a gate at Cal Poly trying to stop the slaughter of a cow someone had raised. And they arrested her, did not charge her. She later chained herself to a post at a basketball game between the Memphis Grizzlies and the Minnesota Timberwolves because she didn't like that the Timberwolf owner owned a slaughterhouse. The primary goal of a group that she works with is to stop all slaughterhouses and the eating of meat in the U.S. and to stop this. So she went and stole four chickens from a chicken slaughterhouse up by the Bay Area. And this time, not only was she arrested, she has been, she received a 3-year prison sentence. What do you think about this, Dan?
Well, it was a foul snatch, obviously. she's one who didn't learn her lesson. I always figured if I got arrested for something, I would learn my lesson, maybe. She seemed to be encountering people in law enforcement who, you know, had some conscience, you know, or didn't want to really punish her a great deal. And her reaction was to go do it again. There's a certain thing about learning your lesson that I think permeates American society in terms of how we think we ought to be. You know, everyone's entitled to a lesson. She could have chained herself to something, got arrested, and said to herself, yeah, that might be a little silly. But here it is, what, years later, almost, what, 8 years?
Yes.
8 years she's been doing this sort of thing and contacting you constantly or fairly regularly, and I think that tells a bit of the story in and of itself.
I believe she was a publicity hound.
Well, yeah, and so she goes in and she snatches four chickens and takes them home and names them. I don't know how long the investigation went on, but they finally caught up with her, and she was arrested. And finally she was going to face the judge, and I'm sure, I have no way of knowing this for certain, but I would guarantee that the judge took into account her previous history of what should have been good lessons, none of which took. So at a certain point, she was sentenced. She could have faced 5 years, I guess. She got 3. She'll probably be out in 18 months. And if she wants to go chain herself to some sort of meat production house, maybe she'll get a lot longer term. Sometimes people do learn after spending some time in, I think it'll probably be, I don't know, jail or prison. Probably jail. Hard to say. Your story says prison, so we'll go.
Three or more is supposed to be prison. It used to be one or more was prison, but now Now they'll do they'll do it a little differently. They may end up keeping her in jail, but it's kind of all over the place. We have one more caller. Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to bring to the conversation? Mm-hmm. Are you there? Okay, I'm going to drop that. Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to bring to the conversation?
I have a little bit different question for you. Concerning the Templeton feed, why haven't the perpetrators of that been charged yet and arrested? The arson.
I don't know if they haven't been charged yet or arrested. And I know they know who they are. They know they did it. They're all juveniles. We are not going to hear a lot when it's juveniles. They did investigate. They did determine who did it. And I think that they're looking at what they're going to do. But we don't get as much information when it is juveniles.
No, I realize that. But it seems to me it's been quite a while. And they haven't, you know, there's been no news or... Seems to me that they, you know, they should have been at least, you know, arrested by now, but maybe not.
Let me, if I could, draw a quick parallel. Here we have that's right. We weren't going to talk about that, were we, Karen?
You can bring it up.
Okay, there's a particular bar action, California State Bar, which controls to some degree the activities of attorneys in California. taking action against an individual. You can say who it is if you want.
John Belcher.
And the point being, a very slow-moving mechanism in the California State Bar to take action against an attorney has now happened much quicker than any federal or state or county action against John Belcher, when all of the evidence that's been accumulated basically is available to all. So, anyway, just pointing that out.
Yeah, I just wondered, because I know it takes longer and there's not as much information that they put out because they're juveniles, but they do know who they are, and I just wondered, you know, it's been a while. So I guess we'll hear something eventually.
And I will try to look into that for you and find out. I also know that they're trying to get some type of reimbursement to for what they have done. Look at insurance, look at work. There were a couple Paso Robles high schoolers who went in and vandalized the high school. And in that case, I know that the parents made them get jobs and pay the money, hand over their income to pay for their crime.
Yeah, well, the amount of damage done, the monetary damage done to Templeton Feed, I think would be beyond anything that they could possibly work for and pay. Maybe they can hold the parents responsible or, you know, something, but hopefully it'll be resolved in the near future.
And I will call and ask about that one. Thank you for calling in.
All right. Thank you.
And Dan, you are right, because the Fed started an investigation into this corruption more than 10 years ago. Yeah. And the Feds are downloading. I'm working on documents. They downloaded about 700 pages of either documents, filings, and exhibits. And it's very dense. It's very meaty. I have gone through all of it. And then just last Friday, they filed a complaint, an allegation against John Belcher. The state bar did. And the state bar allegation has 12 different claims in it of wrongdoing by John Belcher. And this includes corruption, dishonesty. It is a very aggressive charges against John Belcher. Did you get a chance to read it, Dan?
I had a chance to read most of it, and I also read Belcher's handwritten response to the court, which kind of made me chuckle. It's incredibly telling, and I cannot believe that the Bar Association beat law enforcement to this particular issue. And last, and I guess I must add this caveat, I suppose, the most obvious or the most possibility is that John Belcher has been or is providing information that is valuable to investigators, and therefore he has not yet been charged, and I suppose charges may hinge on the value of what he tells investigators. I don't know.
The information that the feds, that I was able to pull down before they put it under seal, I mean, it's pretty damning. And I'll give you an example. One of the things in the bar complaint is regarding getting John Belcher to put into what they call the Tribune property. They brought part of a parking lot that the Tribune had to put into a project, the farm supply project, over in Higuera and near Higuera and Tank Farm in San Luis Obispo. And so the Tribune, they got him to put his money into that. He was told he was going to be on the deed. He wasn't. Then they transferred it over to one of John Belcher's partners, who the partner then, not a partner, someone that they were doing some projects together. They both had percentage ownerships. And they weren't. They ended up buying Belcher out, but he transferred that property over, and then he took the money that the partner paid him and put a down payment on a house for his daughter in San Luis Obispo. So it's just completely taking advantage of an investor. Dan, we're at the end of the hour. Thank you very much for coming on today.
My pleasure. Thanks for allowing me time.
And thank you for listening.
This hour of Sound Off was brought to you by Mid-State Precious Metals across the parking lot from the movie theater in Atascadero. Honest, veteran-owned. Buy or sell precious metals with integrity. Monday through Friday, 10 to 3.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com. Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.